fun to memorize.
Yeah.
Because it's beautifully and perfectly written. And so I think the subject matter is great, but there is something to the artistry as well, because God is an artist.
Yeah.
I was going to say the same thing. It's poetry. And it's short. And, you know, people say, have you memorized verses? Well, the Jesus wept thing always comes up. This is one of those outside of 119, which is like volumes. You actually can internalize and retrieve.
Yeah, I'm looking for the place where David is described as the poet laureate of Israel, and it may be in Samuel, and I actually wrote it down here somewhere, but I don't see it right off the bat. But anyway, and it also talks about his inspiration, you know, that he had, and it came from God in writing his poetry. And the thing that we forget sometimes is, yes, it's a song book, but it's also poetry. And there's rhythms to it. There's parallelism is one of the common things that it used. You know, it's a compare and contrast. Sometimes it's just a contrast. Sometimes it's a statement of this. And then, like yesterday in Psalm 19, it was, the law of the Lord is perfect, and here's the benefit. So it has that kind of, it's not like our Jack and Jill went up the hill to catch, you know, fetch a pail of water. You know, it's not that kind of poetry. But there is a lot of poetry that goes along with it and is able to communicate with us. And I think that's one of the reasons why it really captures. Let me, since we're Psalm 23, let's talk about Psalm 22. What is significant about Psalm 22? Yeah, Jesus relates to it on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? And one of my favorite movies is Jesus of Nazareth. It's a big, long one. And there's a scene in there where one of the religious leaders is standing back off from the cross, and Jesus quotes Psalm 22:1, and he says, even in death, he's quoting Scripture. And it really just makes the tie to it. The other part about Psalm 22, it follows a pattern many times of the Psalms of, you know, there's a cry out to God, which is verse 1, and then there's a complaint that's giving, and there's confession and trust of God, asking for forgiveness, but then at the end it comes in a praise of God. So it follows many patterns of the Psalms. But one of the things that that I particularly zero in on starts with verse 12. It says, many bulls surround me, strong bulls of Bashan encircle me. Roaring lions, tearing their prey, open their mouths wide against me. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It has melted away within me. My strength is dried up like potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth, and you lay me in the dust of death. Dogs have surrounded me. A band of evil men have encircled me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. But you, O Lord, be not far off. What are we talking about there? The crucifixion comes through loud and clear. Now, when you think about it from one point of view, what is David imagining for himself here? Maybe in some way he's picturing this. But when you take and Jesus identifies with it, that psalm, and then you read that part, and this is written 300 years before crucifixion was invented, okay? But it describes crucifixion. What are the parts here that describe the, call them out to me, the ones you know. Okay, so all my bones are out of joint. What's happening at crucifixion? Literally, everything is being stretched and pulled out of joint during a crucifixion. There was another one I heard. What is it? What verse is that? Yeah, well, there it is, verse 16. Pierce my hands and feet. Right there it is. And yeah, they, you know, he thirsts. Did you know there's a verse in the Psalms where it talks about gall and vinegar because of thirst? And, of course, that's a tie to the crucifixion as well.
And the garments.
The garments are divided, which the soldiers around the cross there do that. What else is there? What is that? And there's another little tie to that. My heart has turned to wax. It has melted within me. What happened? How did Jesus die? What did he die of?
Suffocation.
Suffocation, and his heart actually ruptured, which is where you got the separation of the water and the blood that came out. So my heart, he died. People say, well, he died a broken heart. Well, yeah, his heart literally was what gave first. Suffocation is the process that produced it. The other thing that I find in there is dogs have surrounded me. Who are the dogs? Gentiles are dogs. So it describes what is going on there at crucifixion. I always look at that and I go, how did that happen? How did that get in Scripture? And, you know, people argue over the Bible and is it legitimate and should we believe it and all those kinds of things. And I look at this and I go, how could that be? So, and ultimately I always go back to Hebrews 4:12 that the Word of God is living and active and sharper than a double-edged sword. You know, because no matter what you believe, this book still does that. Whether you want to believe it or not, it does that with people. Anyway, that's one of my favorites as well, and just to be able, and it fits into the apologetic range, you know, my way my mind works. It just kind of adds a proof to our faith and belief. What else? You have favorite verses? Yeah. Be still and know that I'm God. Now that's particularly important for me because when my older brother passed away, I don't know who it was. It came with, you may remember, Barbie, but there was a plaque that came that said, be still and know that I am God. And we still have that sitting outside. And when we moved, we took it with us, that kind of thing. So that's one of my favorite. Be still and know that I am God. Good. What else? Other verses. There's not only Psalms, but there's those single verses. One that we have that we, I don't know where it is now, but because we just moved and things are in disarray. It's probably in a box still, but Psalm 5:3, we have it hanging on our door in our bathroom. We did, and it says, in the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait in expectation. You know, at our prayers before him. Yep. Good. That's one of my favorites too. Yes, ma'am.
Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb.
Now, what's going on there with the psalmist? What's he thinking?
He's jealous maybe of these people who are doing well that are not good.
Yes. And is that not a theme of the Scripture? You know, why do the wicked prosper? It's constantly there. Why are they winning? You know, and ultimately, the answer is found in that verse. What other verses do you have there in Psalms? Psalm 84. Good. Any others? I sometimes just flipping at, I like the fact that you have your Bible of 45 years. Barbie doesn't have hers with her right now, but hers looks a lot like that. And you just look at old notes that you've taken and thoughts and everything that you've written down in it, and it's really good. I keep changing Bibles, you know, and I have, do you? And I yeah, and I'll just flip through the Psalms sometime. Yeah, knowing where it is important. Like I just flipped to Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I'm God. I have it underlined in here, you know. So I just kind of mark it up. And
I have one marked up that says, I have a note in here, 9/11/01. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people with whom he has chosen for his own inheritance.
Yeah. Yeah.
14.
Oh, yeah, 2 Chronicles 7:14. Okay. If my people are known by my name. Yeah.
They don't come so fast. But
2
Chronicles
7:14. Now, in Psalm 73, it's the classic, you know, why are the wicked prospering? Why am I being punished? And all those kinds of things. And in verse 16 there it says, when I tried to understand all this, it was oppressive to me. Till I entered, and I love this, the sanctuary of God, then I understood their final destiny. When we're struggling out there, coming together like this morning, coming together on Sunday morning, coming together in prayer groups and all that, is we just need to be reminded when all these bad things are happening out there that we need to come together and be reminded of the important truths of Scripture. And in this case, it's saying you understand their final destiny.
We had Thomas Toole came and preached one Sunday.
Uh-huh.
Back in during the 9/11 tragedy, his church was attended by a lot of folks that had never been to church. And he read the Psalms throughout the day. They took turns reading Psalms throughout the day so people that would come into the sanctuary would
hear the Psalms.
And he shared a story about one gentleman came up to him at the end of the reading and he said, was that Shakespeare? He said, no, it wasn't Shakespeare, it was the Bible. But anyway, he started talking about the Psalms and introduced this gentleman to the Bible. And long story short, he became a member of the church. But through this tragedy, and we just saw the memorial this last week, which is pretty sobering. But through this, a lot of people did come to God because it was just a strong, strong influence in their lives, something that you just could not ignore.
Mm-hmm. All right, any other favorite verses? Yes. There's a reliance upon ultimately on the justice of God. Because not all in this life everybody doesn't get what they deserve, including us, you know. And so ultimately God will bring justice to the earth. All right, let me close, unless y'all have one more thought that or two that you want to share. Which it could happen, you know. So, yeah, that's good. Yeah, Psalm 139 is just a very, it's one of those. Yeah, I'm just sitting here.
Well, the end, I love that.
Search me, O God, and know my heart. Y'all know the hymn that goes with that, don't you? Search me, O God, and know my heart today. That one. Test me, know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Yeah.
To me, that's a miracle in itself, because that would not be an easy task.
No, it's amazing, isn't it? Now, let me close with this thought, and maybe you can add to it a little bit. I hope that this morning, and it has been for me, preparing and also being with you and hearing what you're all saying, is that Psalms is a place that we need to spend time in. And if you haven't been doing that, I would encourage you to take time and you read something else, come back and read a psalm, and just through time you will discover a depth there that I think is really important to experience as we do this walk of faith and living the real life that the psalmist is living as well. And, you know, all the struggles and everything that they're going through, we are going through as well. So how do you incorporate psalms into your daily activities or Bible reading? Or do you have any certain way that you do it? So it becomes a diary of your interaction with the Psalms.
So I really liked it because it was a good way to get through the Psalms and read through it. And he has one for Proverbs as well. But it was a different kind of aspect that I saw of the Psalms. You know, so many times you just read them, but I liked that.
Yeah. Have anybody else looked at that one of Keller's? I haven't seen that one, but. Yeah. Did you all know that the Psalms are the most often quoted texts from the Old Testament in the New Testament?
Yes.
Interesting, isn't it?
The Bible, they have in a column all the references.
Yeah.
And it's really helpful because there are indeed a lot of Psalms that are referred.
Into your hands I commit my spirit comes from the Psalms. You know, that Jesus quoted on the cross again. So I like that, Nalani, the Tim Keller idea.
Singing through the Psalms.
Singing through the Psalms. Okay. Good. Anyone else have anything that they do with it that might be an idea? Yeah.
But it's you know, so often we think, oh, well, the Catholics never hear any scripture, but they really do hear Old Testament, New Testament, and Psalms every day.
The church I go to right now is, on Wednesday night, they're going through the Psalms. And of course, it's going to take them a year or two to go through it, but he's preaching through it on Wednesday night, and it's really good. And I had another thought I wanted to share, and then it just disappeared. I'll think of it in a second, but it's just really a valuable book for us in our faith. We need to be reading the rest of it, but Psalm can be a very devotional reading for us.
Those of us who have been meeting for the last 19 years doing the daily scripture reading down at the auditorium always include a psalm. psalmist. She was the one who would always bring the psalm when she was there. And I know that they were very important in her life. She was steeped in the psalms. And I take great comfort in that as I'm praying for her, that that is what is in her mind and heart right now in a very deep place.
He's praying for her this morning.
Good. Well, thank you all. I don't know how long we've gone here, but okay. Do any of y'all know Eugene Peterson? Mm-hmm. You've met him? Okay. He's a pretty good scholar. And I met someone that knew him up in, I think, Pennsylvania. Is he from Pennsylvania or living there now?
In Montana
now?
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, somebody that knew him there. And anyway, but, you know, I like reading his because a lot of times it just gives you that paraphrase that he does with it is helpful sometimes. There's interpretation going on, but, yeah, that kind of thing. So, well, may you be blessed with the Book of Psalms and your studies, and hopefully this morning has been a blessing for you, and I'll just say amen. Thank you all.